Good afternoon. Welcome to Biz Talk, Believing is Seeing Talk Radio. I'm Bob Ryan.
I'm Montana Smith.
And I'm Aaron Cannata.
Glad to have you with us today. 9/11.
Yes.
Tough day.
Patriot Day.
Yeah, I was working on LinkedIn last night and midnight flipped over and all of a sudden the posting started and wow.
It's amazing to think of it 16 years ago.
I know, but still like as emotionally fresh.
Yeah.
Still when I see the pictures, it's tough. Everybody's got a 9/11 story and none of them are good. And it's just, it's one of those things that we can't forget it. We need to remember, we need to pay attention.
You know, I think a lot about for older generations, you know, exactly where you were when we landed on the moon or when Kennedy got shot. There's not so many moments for my generation. I don't think because it's so fragmented. The media we watch, we're not all watching the same thing.
Right.
I think that's one thing we can point to and say, I mean, I remember exactly where I was.
How old were you when that happened? You were in your teens, right?
I was young. I mean, I was 16.
Yeah.
I was in high school and I remember my mom waking me up saying, you've got to get out of bed. This is a big deal. And I said, Mom, it's not that I don't care, but I'm sleeping.
Yeah.
And she said, no, you have to get out of bed. And, you know, all of my family's back there. So she was on the phone with her brother trying to get on the phone. I mean, really crazy. But, yeah, I think that's one of the few times I can think of where I remember exactly where I was when that event happened.
Yeah, I got stuck watching the Flight 93 thing all over again, you know. Amazing stories coming out of that. Anyhow, 9/11, and we have all the hurricanes going on right now. I am so impressed with all the devastation with Harvey and Irma and now one coming, that we have been able to handle this so much better than we handled Katrina. I mean, so much better. And we moved how many millions of people out of southern Florida? Holy cow, what an amazing feat. It just seems like we have learned so much in the last few years about managing ourselves during bad weather. Lots going on. Today, we have a great show for you, though. We're going to speak in just a minute with Peter Preuss. He is a guy that is a director of business development for a group called the Tecate Group, not the beer company. This is a technology company. They make ultra capacitors, and what they do is really cool. They're into robotics, automation. Well, he is anyway. Artificial intelligence, which I love. And they also, Peter's also involved in the Preuss School. And we're going to talk to him about what's going on there because they are really doing a great job. After that, Gary Peterson, Gap Intelligence. Speaking of jobs, what an amazing technology they've got to keep track of what's going on in the world of, I just said technology and things like vacuum cleaners and home appliances, computers. They help companies know what their competition's doing. Fascinating. I can't think of a greater, better way to make a living than figuring out what's happening in the technology world. So we'll talk to Gary Peterson at Gap Intelligence coming up at the bottom of the hour. Make sure you stay tuned for that. Well, let's get to Peter Preuss. Peter, thanks for being here.
Thanks so much for having me. It's great to be here.
You're the director of business development for the Tecate Group, not the beer company.
Not the beer company. I'm not giving out any free beer to any of the listeners here.
But tell us what you do at the Tecate Group.
Well, the Tecate Group's actually a 40-year-old company that was founded by a local San Diegan. It's still a family-owned and family-run company. And we have, over the years, developed a huge customer base that includes many of the Fortune 500 companies. And we make these ultracapacitors and ultracapacitor assemblies. We do all of our engineering and sales out of our offices here in Mission Valley. We do manufacturing in Taiwan, China, and in Mexico.
So I think most people that have any experience with electronics at all kind of know what a capacitor is. It's the little things that set on the motherboards with the two little prong wires that go down and provide a little burst of energy for whatever electronics you're working on, right?
Exactly.
Is that a decent description?
That's a perfect description.
So what is an ultra capacitor? Is it something bigger and better and provides more burst of energy?
So an ultra capacitor is a different type of capacitor that can hold a lot more energy. For the size that it is. So it is measured in, so a good example is that a capacitor is measured in microfarads.
And microfarads. And now, farad is a new measurement to me because I've heard of joules and watts and, you know, amps and all that. But farad, that's an actual measurement of the of a unit of electricity or a unit of...
It's like a unit of the amount of power that is stored or the amount of energy that's stored in there. So the amount of electrons that are actually held.
So you count the electrons and you get how many ferrets it is?
Very small microscope,
And so the small ones, the regular capacitors, are in little electronics like TVs, things like that, right?
Or even all of our cell phones have hundreds of capacitors on them.
Okay. And so an ultracapacitor, if a regular one's in microfarads, how do you measure an ultracapacitor?
In ferrets. And so you can have, you know, all the way from 1 farad to 3,000, 5,000 farads.
So a microfarad is for a small capacitor, maybe, you know, 50 microfarads, and then an ultracapacitor might be a farad, which would be what?
Yeah,
10, 30 times it?
A thousand times the amount of power.
So it's a lot more. So what do you use ultracapacitors for?
So ultracapacitors have a lot of uses. They can be replacements for batteries, but they can also do things like supplement battery power. So if you want to do peak power shaving, so basically have a smaller battery for doing something like driving around in an autonomous vehicle or an autonomous forklift, but then when you actually need to use the lift and lift something up, right, you use the power that's in that ultracapacitor.
So some factories, and you talked about an autonomous forklift, right? So some factories actually have forklifts with no drivers. They follow a path. They go collect a product and move it around the warehouse or the factory environment, right? Mm-hmm. So while it's driving and just doing, you know, moving along, it uses maybe a traditional battery. But what I think you're saying is when it goes to lift something, it needs a burst of energy, and the ultracapacitor would provide that.
Exactly. And it can provide a big burst of energy for doing something like lifting thousands of pounds.
Does each burst exhaust its entire energy?
So generally, it would exhaust the entire amount, and then it would... The other thing about ultracapacitors is they can charge instantly. So as the lift is the fork is going down, it could have a regenerative system that actually puts the electrons back into the ultracapacitor.
And that comes from the battery.
So it would come from either a generator system using the forks, right, while it's going down.
Oh, so it's
like an electric car or something.
Yeah, what's the regenerative braking?
Yeah.
Kind of like that. So as the forklift comes down, it spins some kind of wheel, charges the capacitor back up.
Is the Prius doing
that's
the same
really
thing
smart.
When you brake and that's what the
actually,
energy
this is This is the thing that people don't realize is that actually regenerative braking and...
Peter, hold that thought. I want to get to that because this is really cool stuff. Peter Preuss, he is Director of Business Development at Tecate Group. They make ultracapacitors, and we want to hear about the Preuss School. You're listening to Biz Talk, Believing is Seeing Talk Radio. I'm Bob Ryan.
I'm Montana Smith.
And I'm Aaron Cannata.
Don't you go anywhere. We're going to learn about regenerative something or other when we come back. I'm not sure what it regenerates, but we'll find out. Stay with us.
Welcome back. You're listening to Biz Talk, Believing is Seeing Talk Radio. We're broadcasting today from the ESET studios, ESET Internet Security. Do more. Want a podcast of the show? Well, of course you do. Go to ESPN1700.com. I'm Montana Smith.
I'm Aaron Cannata.
And I'm Bob Ryan. Glad you're with us today. Peter Preuss is with us. The company he's at right now is Director of Business Development. It's called the Tecate Group, not the beer company, but a technology company. They make ultracapacitors. For those of you that just joined us, the regular capacitors, the little tiny things that you see on circuit boards with the two little wires that stick down in there, and they provide a little burst of energy. The ones that Tecate Group manufactures or makes much larger. Physically, how much bigger are they, Peter?
So it's actually really interesting. We make all sorts of different sizes,
right.
Then they make them in different form factors too, right? So they're little cylinders, we measure them in millimeters, right? And they go from this about this big to
so they'd be about the size.
Large.
Would they be about the size of a AAA battery? The smaller ones.
Half a AAA battery.
Half of a AAA battery, and then the larger ones might be the size of a bottle of water, like a water bottle.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
Big.
So you can have them as big as a
Well,
a water
that's got to have
a
lot of energy stored in it.
Yeah, so that's like the 3,000s.
And then we were talking about the fact that maybe like an electric forklift drives along and uses its battery for the kind of the slow. slow, steady energy to move the thing. And then when it needs to lift, it needs that burst of energy, which could come from one of your ultracapacitors.
Yeah. In fact, our product is called Power Burst.
Power Burst. There you go. That makes some sense. And what's really cool, I mean, not that ultracapacitors aren't cool, but what we got, we're talking about the fact that you can recharge those almost instantly, but as the forklift drops its load, it's spinning some kind of alternator generator that recharges the capacitor for the next time you need it to go back up again.
Exactly.
That sounds almost like a perpetual motion machine, like the dreamed about machine that can go on forever, yeah, right?
They're very efficient at capturing energy and then providing that energy back. And that, so in electric cars and regenerative braking, which is a similar concept, right?
When you're braking, it's spinning some kind of flywheel, which charges up the battery again, right?
And when you're doing it to a battery, which is a chemical reaction, it can only take that power so quickly. So it's actually really inefficient to do that. Most of it gets lost as heat energy.
Right.
And with an ultracapacitor, you can just store all that electricity that's being regenerated, and then use all that power for doing things like accelerating again. Huh. Right?
You know, when I was younger, some friends used to play jokes on me. We were doing electronics and fooling around with things. They'd charge up a little capacitor and leave it set on the workbench, and I'd go to pick it up, and I'd get zapped really good, and then, of course, they'd all laugh at me because it was so funny. I'm guessing if you did that with one of these ultracapacitors, it might be more than a little zap.
Yeah, it would be kind of dangerous if you did that.
So you don't leave them laying around charged up.
You don't want to leave them laying around charged up, and you want to have them built into something and then have some balancing circuitry.
So we talked about uses in maybe an electric forklift, but you said that you serve a lot of the big Fortune 500 companies. What other kinds of uses are there for the ultracapacitors?
Well, so one that I'm really excited about actually is an automated material handling system. So you were talking a little bit about robotics and AI,
right.
And that's my background, and actually how I ended up joining Ducati is because we have our a whole module, right? So it's about 9 cells altogether that go into these robots that go into these huge warehouses that are multi-levels high, and they pull out an entire pallet or just like some a couple little buckets of product, and then bring them back to pickers, which pick the things out and put it into
a box. Okay, I'm picturing some kind of dystopian future where these things are taking over the world.
they're taking over the warehouse today.
So we are automating things inside of warehouses, because if you, what was it, Amazon's warehouses, they were doing a special when they were going to use the drones to, and everything is automated in these warehouses because they're so massive.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And so you provide the bursts of energy that allow these automated machines to pick things up and move them where they need to go.
When you think of something like a warehouse, these little robots are going to be driving around in the warehouse, right? And so you can have little charging pads because they charge so quickly, especially since a lot of them have elevators, right? So the robot has to go on an elevator.
Right.
It just charges up while it sits on the elevator, and then they measure it in aisles. So a lot of times they say it can go 40 aisles down and 40 aisles back on one charge. But the other beauty of that versus batteries is that they last for millions of cycles of that charge discharge and for 10, 15 years, whereas batteries, you're looking at 3 to 5 years, then you have to replace it.
Because the chemicals inside are now worn out and you can't, you can't charge it up again.
And a lot of times they just, that obviously lithium ions have explosion issues, and there's just other issues with the batteries that they're constantly maintaining the batteries. You don't have to do that with ultracapacitors.
You mentioned earlier that there were 9 cells. Does that mean they're stacked on top of each other? So depending on the number you have, that can determine the range or how long?
So that's some of the engineering that we actually do. So we create a PCB board that the 9 cells plug into in whatever form factor that you want, right? And so we work with the customer in order to build.
The form factor would be the actual physical shape of the item, right?
So we make the thing actually in a module, so it looks like a big battery. Right?
Does it look like a car battery?
It looks like a
car battery. Big car battery,
yeah.
Right? And
yeah.
It would have, but it's encased in something.
It's totally encased and enclosed. It has some leads on it, but you wouldn't know that it's a ultracapacitor bank, right? It just looks like a big battery.
So they're using them in factories right now. Are there other technologies that are looking at these ultracapacitors for use maybe in automobiles at some point in time, or airplanes or drones? Or
Well, definitely automobiles have been a very interesting market for the entire industry for a long time. Chinese hybrid buses, these hybrid buses that use that actual energy to do the acceleration like I was talking about, that's been around for quite some time. But a really interesting space is actually something that I've been doing some looking into, and a San Diego startup company that actually won the Connect MIP Awards a couple years ago kind of revolutionized, and I was really interested to learn about this company called Gigatech. And they make these RAM chips for a computer that you can do all your processing for the computer on that. Use that as your main memory. The problem with that is it's volatile memory, right?
So right, the random access memory, when the power goes away,
it's gone,
the memory
right?
goes away, yeah.
So what you do is you have a non-volatile memory on the other side of it, something like what's in your iPhone, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have just a little bit of power on that chip. So like with an ultra capacitor that can deliver the amount of power that you need, but not a lot of energy, so it doesn't take a long time, but it just copies everything over into this non-volatile memory.
Which would be like an SD card kind of concept, right?
Exactly.
So
exactly.
It stays on there. And that would be useful for data that you want to leave in the computer when you turn it off. So it's there when you turn it back on.
It's all for unexpected.
So if the power goes out, anything that you might have lost, it can back up in the amount of time that capacitor can...
Exactly. So we you know, what the industry does is really looks at how much energy is required and how long do they need in order to back up that.
We'll get back to that in just a second. Peter Preuss is with us. We want to find out about the Preuss School. When we come back, there's a lot more to talk about. You're listening to Biz Talk, Believing is Seeing Talk Radio, and I'm Bob Ryan.
I'm Montana Smith.
And I'm Aaron Cannata.
Don't you go anywhere. We will be right back.
Welcome back. You're listening to Biz Talk, Believing is Seeing Talk Radio. You're listening to us on ESPN 1700, but did you know you could watch us too? Watch us on Facebook, visit our Biz Talk page, and share your comments, ask your questions, and of course, we always appreciate your likes. And today, I apologize, we did not get our Facebook Live up and running at 2 o'clock. We are currently working on it. But we do have a backup video that we can...
Well, the video we can put up.
We'll definitely put out our video later on today.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm Montana Smith.
I'm Aaron Cannata.
And I'm Bob Ryan. So if you're listening, you can't see us on Facebook, but we will post the video of this because
yes,
we have that.
But we do.
It'll take us a little bit of time after the show to get that posted, which is really interesting anyway, because we rarely have a lot of people watching us actually live on Facebook. We get all of our hits afterwards.
Yes.
Sometimes we get tens of thousands of them, which I'm very impressed with.
Yeah, it's
wonderful. I made a joke about Facebook tape delayed, and it got a laugh from our guest that day.
Seriously. Peter Preuss is with us. He is Director of Business Development at Takati Group, a company that makes ultracapacitors. Peter, we talked a lot about the burst of energy these things provide for warehouse robotics, maybe even computers to store data very quickly as a backup from the RAM. There's a lot more we could talk about there, but I would like to talk a little bit about the Preuss School. That has your name on it. How in the world did a school get your name on it, and tell us a little bit about it once you tell us that?
Well, so in 1997, when I was off to college, my parents were very involved with UCSD, and a bunch of people at UCSD, including Cecil Idle, had this idea for creating a charter school on the campus of UCSD with the support of UCSD, specifically for kids that were going to be the first kids and their family to go to college.
That's really an interesting model. The kids that would be the first child to go to college in the family, there's enough of those out there that you can create a high school out of?
There are there's a lot of kids that aren't going to college.
Whose families have not put anybody through school
yet? It's actually
yet.
A huge challenge. The biggest challenge of it is taking kids whose parents never went to college. So they don't know.
The mindset might be a bit different.
The mindset's totally different. They don't know what it's like to do a college application. They don't, this whole idea of
really
touring
good
colleges.
Right.
you know,
You hear so often that's such a point of pride to say, I was the first person in my family to go to college. I'm curious, if you have a family that has multiple children and you would accept those children, say they're only a few years apart, what if one of them, the eldest of them,
that's
then goes to college?
Point.
Are they now getting kicked out? I can't imagine
that's the
case. But.
It gets really tricky. But for siblings, we do allow siblings.
It can package deal.
Yeah. And because it's their parents.
Right.
But it gets really complicated when it's
like
stepdad.
Right.
Or
the first generation of kids to go to college, maybe. Not necessarily the actual first one. But you're right. If the stepfather had gone to school or the stepmother had gone to college, and maybe does that eliminate the child then at that point?
Yeah.
Or does it get
those are the hard decisions that the administration has to make. But to get in this school, it's purely a lottery.
Right.
So there's no academic requirements. You have to be the first in your family to go to college, and you have to be on the federal school lunch program as well.
So what about the cost? Who pays for this?
So it's a charter school.
Yep.
So we get a couple cents on the dollar per student for what a public school would get. And then the way that the school really works and why it's such a success is that it's a longer school day and it's a longer school year. So if a kid goes from 6th grade to 12th grade, it's like they've gone an extra year of school.
Whoa, that's pretty good. So the kids don't have to pay for this.
The kids don't pay for it. And we actually, the community has been really great since, our first class in 1999 of helping to support.
Do you have any statistics on how many kids actually end up in college that have gone to the school?
Yeah, so we have about a 95% acceptance rate into school over over our history. We have
95% over the history of the school.
Yeah.
That's not
really
just
fantastic.
Last year. That's over the history.
Right. Yeah.
I'm curious. I bet one of the statistics, if you were to look at it, is the more people whose parents went to college are also more likely to go to college. Do you guys keep track of graduates and see whether their children, I don't know if you've been doing it long enough.
No. So in the first class was in 1999.
Yeah. So that would
so
be,
I,
they
okay.
might be at the point where they're having kids.
They're having kids.
Yes.
I know of two guys that have actually a guy and a girl from the school that got married afterwards and have kids, but they're not going to college yet. Right? They're not college
because they're not old enough yet.
Yeah, they're not old enough.
Yeah,
yet. But 1,200 kids. The U.S. News and World Report last year, when it came out with its rankings, actually ranked the school as the number one high school in San Diego, the number five in California, the 15th charter school in the nation, and the 54th school overall in the entire country.
54 in the entire country.
Yeah.
Now is that ranking by the grades or by the quality of the education or the...
So they take a number of things into account, but one of them is going to college, college acceptance rates, and also kind of the change that it makes for the community and how many... kids who are more needy than others, so, right, are actually going to the school. So,
other than the students that you take and their criteria, what makes you guys different? Why do you have such success?
Well, so it's that longer school day and the longer school year. But what that allows them to do actually is have a full class period just for an advising period, because these kids come in sixth grade and they don't have a desk at home to do their homework on.
Some of them might not even have a computer.
They don't have a computer. They either have a phone, but so the other thing that makes it such a success is it's one track, all AP.
No kidding.
So there's no...
So it changes the entire culture for the child. If their family has not attended college, there might not be a culture of even discussing it in the home and talking about it. I mean, I raised my kids to believe that college was kind of the natural course of events, and they really didn't have a choice. This is just what you do. But a lot of parents don't raise their kids that way. They're telling them to go, that they may be going to a trade,
point.
Which is great too, but some kids really... could benefit by going to college. So you get a chance to change their entire culture. Do you get a chance to work with the parents at all?
Yeah.
On the changing the culture of their thinking?
A big part of it is to get the parents' engagement and the parents' buy-in to the program as well. Because when kids get into the Proy School, it's like, from day one, you're going to college, right? But the parents need to know that too, right? They're going away after 12th grade, right, for a little bit for their education, right? And so they need support. There's actually a really great story about one parent who was very kind of reluctantly having his kid come in, but he got so involved with the president of the PTA, and I think I mean, it was this crazy situation where I don't even think he spoke English when his son came in. But it actually changed his life, his son being in the school. So.
Peter Preuss, you have a school that's named after your parents, right? You're still actively involved in it. You've got a gala coming up. We don't have time to talk about that this session. Thank you so much for being here. We'll talk about that when you come back. We'll have you back to get some information on that. Peter Preuss, thank you so much. You're listening to Biz Talk. I'm Bob Ryan.
I'm Montana Smith.
And I'm Aaron Cannata.
Up next, we're going to talk to Gary Peterson of Gap Intelligence. What a dream job they have there. Don't you go anywhere. We're going to be right back.